you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Colony, the official podcast, and I'm your host, Tara Bennett, a senior producer for Sci-Fi Wire. So we are doing something out of the ordinary this season. We are closing out the season, and heartbreakingly, we're closing out the series with this podcast for What Goes Around, the amazingly stellar season finale, series finale of Colony, directed by Tim Southam and penned by Wes Took. And so for the last time, we've got our co-creator and executive producer, Ryan Condal, and our executive producer, Wes Took, with us. Hello, guys.
We're not wearing pants today because... We decided it's all over and we're going to go out the way we want to.
That's right.
I'm wearing pants.
That's right.
This is how I want
Wes to. Wes has never been someone to show solidarity with his fellow EP. So, you know, I look like the asshole for showing up with no pants.
Good luck storming that beach.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure, the water's warm.
It's a hard time for us to get together and talk about the end of the show because it's too soon. This has been a show that has been brilliantly executed. I don't say that because I'm hosting it. Believe me, I watch a lot and cover a lot of television, and it needs to be something that I really want to watch and spend my time doing. And this show has just been an absolute joy to watch as a viewer, to be able to be surprised by and be challenged by and think about certainly what's going on in the real world. History repeats itself, and you guys have brilliantly been able to use history and the metaphor of sci-fi to show us the human condition. And this was written many, 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 many months ago and shot and finished a long time ago before the show was not going to be carried through with USA. But tell me a little bit about what you guys wanted to accomplish, because a lot of miles have happened with this family.
And I think I just want to say at the top that it's certainly been Ryan's instinct, and I agree with it, not to dissect finales, just let people live with the story and not try to explain what happened so that everyone applies their own theories of the season and takes their own piece from it. And that would have been our approach on this one, except that I think we both felt that we owed something to the people who have watched hours of the show, and especially the super fans who have lobbied and worked so hard online to make our studio network aware that there are people who wanted to see how the story would end if it were given its natural life cycle. And I'm personally touched and grateful for it, because it's really hard to make a show, and a lot of people who worked incredibly hard on it. And for a show like this that didn't have the think pieces every Thursday after it was published, our feedback loop really was from the fans.
Yeah.
And the way in which people were engaging with it and thinking about it and talking about it amongst themselves was kind of the reward for making it. And to them, I think we both feel sorry that we're not going to be able to finish the arc that had been in our heads. And there's no virtue in us explaining where we thought the show would go. At this point, everyone kind of needs to finish the story in their own head. But I think we wanted to take the opportunity to say, thank you for watching. Thank you for engaging. And because this is going to be the last piece of the story, to talk about it a little bit. Going back to your question, therefore, this was very clearly going to be a challenging emotional season for the Bowmans. And we always knew that in the middle of it, there was going to be this traumatic event that was going to shatter the family. And it was going to drive everyone in different directions. And not wrap it up, but to have it all come to an emotional head in the sixth act of the finale, where we would see Bram and his sister in a new environment, and where we would see Will, the culmination of all the choices he's made, deciding he's too toxic, deciding that the best thing he can do for his family in this moment is to go and serve in another capacity. And for Katie to, in this kind of tragic and ironic turn of events, be literally trapped outside a wall away from her family in the pursuit of trying to reunite them. And that, from the Bowman's perspective, it is a somewhat apocalyptic ending, but from the position of the society, which we've never seen before, this group of people or humans, it's actually uplifting and hopeful, because Will is going off on a mission that might be fruitful, and Broussard is meeting up with meaningful resistance, and Snyder is justifiably terrified that he might not have enough people to hold this block, and something is coming. We are building to an event, and it's potentially a hopeful event in the way that it hasn't been before.
Right. And I think good science fiction, even as grim as it gets, wants to have a positive outlook on at least a potential future. Mm-hmm. And I think in this dark time that we're all living through for a lot of reasons, not just in our part of the world, but everywhere. I think as seemingly grim as our commentary about the human condition has been and the role of governments and private entities in the life of the individual have been, I think we wanted to certainly leave this season and now end up leaving the series on a note that does at least show a ray of hope for humanity. There is a hopeful path.
Yeah.
Whether they get to go down it and whether that is the future eventuality from here, I don't think will ever be known. But at least, you know, there is a hope, and it shows that the Bowmans have sacrificed themselves for something that's greater, just for the chance that Gracie can grow up in a better future than Bram had at the same age.
Any television show that people love that doesn't get to have the ending that it wanted is always heartbreaking. But like a great book that maybe someone was supposed to write a trilogy and they weren't able to write a third book, we're left with very strong feelings about where we're left with these characters so that we can, in our own mind, write the rest of the story. And that's what we as viewers of this show will go on and do. However, you've given us a really wonderful roadmap.
Yeah, I think each of the characters, it feels like it might not be the ending that you want, but it is the end of an arc. If you examine each of our core cast, Snyder, Broussard, Will, Katie, Bram, to a degree.
Yes.
If you examine them where they started in the series, in the pilot, and look at where they are now, they have all arced significantly to get them to here. It's not necessarily a better place, I think, in all of their cases, but it is a change, and it does show that the outside pressures of this world that they were participants in have changed and altered them, and pushed them to extremes and pushed them to a different place, and now they've ended in a place where they are different people than when the story began, just as I think Wes and I are as writers. I mean, this is 4 years of my life and career right now coming to a close. And for Wes, who got involved just after the pilot, it's 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long time. And I think we've arced just as our characters have. Although Wes and I don't look as good going into a pod, I don't think, as the great Josh Holloway.
Yeah.
No.
Can any of us say that?
A lot of digital alteration.
So many dots on all of us. many dots. For you guys as writers in TV, are there certain things that you walk away with that you feel like have changed you as writers as you move forward for screenplays or other TV shows that you do in the future?
I mean, I think the act of writing a television show, the 36 hours of a television show, that although it did put an end to my pretty good, I thought, joke before Colony, which was the only thing I'd ever had made before Colony got going, was this pilot that got passed on at NBC. So my joke was, well, you know, I have produced 42 minutes of television. So
you beat your record, buddy.
So now I have 36 plus 1 hours under the belt. But I think to be a writer and to go through that, it can't not change you and change the way that you approach telling a story visually and orally. The way you approach a page of screenplay that you're looking at now, that this isn't just a thing that I'm doing as my own intellectual exercise. This is a blueprint, a document that I'm going to be handing off to visualists and actors and people that need to actually make this stuff happen. And I think it made me a much better writer. I'm a much better writer now versus where I was 4 years ago when I wrote the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've grown more in that 4 years than I had with all the time of my writing combined, both as a professional and as a unread, unloved amateur.
Well, there's something very particular about writing something and then seeing it immediately shot and put on screen. You can't help but grow from that.
Or shrink into yourself and collapse like a dying star.
There are those periods also. I think the thing that I really didn't have an appreciation for is exactly how many people working at the top of their game is required to make a functional television show. And I think that everyone in the show is proud of the way the show itself grew. I mean, I think our strongest work was season 3. I'm incredibly proud of it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people feel that way. But, you know, I went and I looked on the IMDb Pro page today, and there are over 850 people credited on the series so far. And you think about how many of them contributed so much. And we don't have time to go through all of their names, but we know who they are and are grateful for the work they did. I mean, I think Ryan should talk a little bit about Juan, who directed the pilot so brilliantly and came back in season 2 as our producing director. I can talk forever about Tim Southam, who really stepped it up this year, and we had to move the show and we had a bunch of new directors. And I think the stylistic unity he was able to find, which was through pure force of will, like really creating an environment that was friendly for directors to come into, visiting directors, where they knew what the goals of the show were. They knew the restrictions. They knew we have a very demanding schedule, and yet people produced consistently outstanding work that I think they were very proud of. So grateful for Tim. He moved across the country. His wife was in Montreal. He put himself in an island to do it. You know, I owe him a personal debt of gratitude as much as a professional one. You want to talk about Juan?
Yeah, the great Juan Campanella. We really miss him this season. unfortunately, his schedule didn't work for him to direct. He was working on a play that he was directing in Buenos Aires. Juan set the entire look and tonality of the show with that great pilot that he shot. And it was, I've talked about this before, but his own upbringing in the dictatorship in Argentina in the 70s that he saw in the pages that I had written as just a fan of World War II history. I've never lived through anything like this. But he brought this whole other reality rooted in real human history to the show. It was based on his own experiences living as a film student in a radical right-wing country where he was seen as a leftist and a radical and a potential threat and many encounters with the police, so much that it became kind of routine for him. Yeah. And new people that were in the resistance. And you know, this great story about this young girl that had been recruited and was given a box of hand grenades to hide, and she put them under her bed, like right next to the radiator.
Oh my God.
And the box was burned or something like that, the crate that it was in. They found out what she had done and they were horrified. Oh, and it's like, God. Well, that's what happens when you have a 15-year-old and a box of hand grenades and no training. And you know, just these little stories that, right. You know, that survive. And then the story that disappeared, the political enemies being thrown into the ocean, 30,000 people over the course of the dictatorship, just horrible things. But Juan brought not only that real experience, but his literal Academy Award winning talent to the show and was able to attract actors that we would have not otherwise, I think, been able to work with, and was just an awesome collaborator. The guy never had a bad day. I think I had a lot of bad days on the series, but Juan was always this like bright center of delighted Argentinian joy that was fun to work with. My hope for this season was that we would be able to bring Tim and him together. I mean, they've worked together before because they crossed paths in season 1, season 2, but that would have been the ultimate to have like the two of them kind of at the top of their game doing it. It didn't work out. And we're sad that Juan doesn't get to direct another episode of Colony, but he does make a very special appearance in episode 13 for anybody who's paying attention. I will just leave it at that.
That's awesome. And yeah, you know, just kudos to all of you mentioned before, Wes, 800 people work on this show, and some TV shows get big monster budgets. Some shows have to deal with smaller budgets. And this show has never, ever, ever looked like it's a show that was compromised visually. It's a small miracle.
The miracle is largely due to the line producers.
Yeah.
Season 1, Dennis Hammer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked a miracle on a movie of the week budget. And then season 2.
The Velvet Hammer.
Season 2, we had to totally reboot the show.
Yeah.
Paul Bernard came in, and to shoot a show at that scale in Los Angeles was miraculous. A lot of shot in the valley, obviously.
Yes.
But didn't look like it.
Nope.
And then moving up to Vancouver, we brought one crew member up there.
Starting from scratch. Yeah.
And Brian Parker came in and ran that ship, and we once again used every piece of the Buffalo.
Yeah, just incredible. Would have been dead without that trio of gentlemen.
Yeah. And then the people there are able to hire. I mean, I think the look of the show this season is so striking.
Good. And yeah, the production design.
Jeremy
and
Stambridge
team.
And his team were just, and Victoria were just unbelievable.
His whole team, and Glenn Campbell, who costumed Battlestar Galactica previously,
yes.
This little science fiction show that people may or may not be aware of, did an awesome job reinventing the costumes yet again this year. There's an incredibly challenging task, the costumes in the show, because you're walking the line between just normal, everyday sort of what does a guy look like to occupation soldiers. It has to look like it's part of the same world. And it was just, we struggled a lot through the pilot in the first season, second season, just trying to hit that right look. Some things worked, some things didn't work as well. And I think Glenn just really brought it home in a big way this year, the same way Jeremy did with the production design.
And we would not have made a single day of shooting successfully without Chris Valuna.
Yeah.
He was our DP.
Season 2 and 3.
To be good and fast is just such a rarity.
Yeah.
And the show would not have worked without him, especially in the varying light conditions of Vancouver, which is extraordinarily challenging.
That guy has more energy in the 14th hour of a shooting day than I think I've had since high school. It's stunning to watch.
And just positive, unrelentingly positive. And that brings so much to the set.
Kind of the perfect DP in the sense that not only is he a visual genius, which he is, but can do it with one light or 300 lights, but also reads directors so incredibly well. He knows the directors that want a guy who's going to say, put the camera there. And he also knows the directors that want to really get in and roll their sleeves up, and he'll work with them and collaborate. I never saw him get into it with anybody. He just knows how to walk the line. And like, he knows what will look good, but he will also let you go and do your own thing because he understands the role of the director and the director of photography, that relationship.
And then when we got into post-production, there were incredible team run by Roof, who's squeezed every dollar possible. If we told you the VFX budget of this show, you would fall over laughing. It's the catering budget in Westworld.
Yeah.
And we had Walker drones, and we have walls, and we have all sorts of minor fixes you never know about.
And exactly.
Yeah, and things that you don't know are a visual effect or visual effects cleanups. Ralph Glasgow, he's been with us since the pilot. Just amazing.
And the team of editors he assembled, who by the end of the season, the editor's cut was increasingly just becoming our cut because they kind of knew the show. They just took such a burden off by being so good. And that's Nona and Jack and Tim this year, and then Sarah and Ryan from last year. We've just been very blessed with editors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I want to also thank the fans. We've had some really wonderful, dedicated fans that have provided us great, smart questions, that have done things like the Renew Colony hashtag, that have made sure that they've watched live, that have listened to the podcast as well and given reviews and ratings, which all of that has made an impact on letting the outside world know about this show. And one of the wonderful things about television and the heartbreaking things about television is sometimes you're ahead of the time. I firmly believe that a lot of fans knew that this show was ahead of its time.
Yeah, I would just say to those fans, first of all, it's not your fault. It's not your fault the show wasn't promoted.
Right.
You found it anyway.
Yep.
The fact that our ratings were going up through the season, which is an embarrassment to a marketing department, is because you were spreading the word and you were finding it. And it was popping up in your DVR and you were telling your friends. And like that, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it and the engagement. As I said at the top here, it is kind of the reward of this season has been the way in which that you've tried to spread the word. And this decision was really made in a way that didn't allow you to raise an outcry. We noted that you were rallying to do it, and we appreciated that too.
Yeah, I echo everything that Wes said. The reason that you make television is for the audience,
yeah.
And you want to reach an audience. I think, sadly, we have not yet reached our full potential of audience. I think there's audiences that haven't even met the show yet that will find it on Netflix and other platforms in the years to come, where it will get recommended to them because they've watched other things through the algorithm.
Exactly.
The algorithm will live on. And the people that engage now will, you know, I think in 10 years when there's a Comic-Con, you know, Colony reunion,
yes,
we'll be able to say they were, you know, OG Colony.
They really
They watched it on USA or Bravo or wherever they found it. And I think that's really cool. And I think the show will live on. And look, it's sad because we did have, I think, two really great seasons of storytelling in the future to finish out the thing that we were setting up here with the end of season three. And nobody's going to get to see it and it's not going to be able to be realized. But I'm incredibly proud of what we have accomplished to this point, what we have done. And I think the new fans that come to it will find a show that, you know, might not have an ending, but is a satisfying experience on the whole. And look, creatively, everybody agreed that this was our best season, yeah. Everybody, including our network and studio partners. In a lot of cases, at other places, that is enough to keep the thing going. They find a way. They figure out a way. That was not the case here because of a number of reasons. But that doesn't mean that the contribution that the fans made to the show isn't recognized or deserved, because they did get us to a third season, which is really important.
Yeah, and we should also definitely thank you guys. We appreciate how much you proselytized for the show. It is,
yes,
coming in and doing the podcast has in some ways been, it's the other
affirmational.
Yeah, that people are watching as carefully as you guys are and asking the kind of questions you are, you and Paul, and we, you know.
Shows that the hard work that we did is appreciated, and people aren't just looking for plot points and reveals about the aliens, that they're really digging into the material qualities of the show, that's the hard stuff to write.
Well, I thank both of you for allowing this forum to happen, because it's not an easy thing to do to come in and kind of dissect your work, but you've done it with humor and grace.
We have one more category we have to thank.
Oh, we do have one more category to thank.
April Webster put together a phenomenal
My
cast.
My goodness, that cast.
And we have to talk about the cast.
All the way back since the pilot, and really made the Josh Holloway thing happen, her relationship with him going back to Lost,
yeah.
And certainly Carlton's relationship with Josh helped there, but brought in Sarah Wayne Callies, found and really stood behind Peter Jacobson and really made that happen. And we were struggling to cast Broussard. April was the one that went out and found Tori Kittles and talked to him and got him on the phone with me. And I was a huge True Detective fan, so
yeah.
It was really cool to talk to him coming off that really hot season of television. But, you know, and then all the amazing guest roles leading all the way up to Wayne Brady this year, you know, just amazing. Her and her team, Erica Bream, who worked with her for pilot season one, season two, and then Angela, who came in to help her this year.
Their professionalism, I think, should be commended also, that I think we will be able to work in television a very long time and not have a group of people who show up more prepared, more dedicated, cause fewer problems, genuinely like each other and take care of each other, have gone out of their way to promote the show.
Yes.
And it comes from the top. Josh Holloway shows up for work every day with an amazing attitude and prepared. He's just a potential one-take wonder.
Yeah.
He always gets it and he always brings it.
They always said on the Star Trek shows, the quality of the set experience was always based on the personality of the captain. And that wasn't Captain Picard's personality. That was Patrick Stewart's. The same is the case for Colony with Josh Holloway at the helm.
So great.
And I would also like to thank, at the very end, my partner sitting to my left here, Wes, who I made a lot of really terrible decisions in my whole life and writing career, and especially at the top of Colony for a lot of reasons. And the one thing that they tell you never to do is to hire a friend, because yes. One day you will have to fire that friend, and that's going to...
Is it today?
Wes, I'm very sorry. We're going to have to let you go. I thought the last 3 months without a paycheck would have been a hint, but no, you're going to make it...
you're going to make it really awkward for me and make me do this face to face. But no, I they tell you not to hire a friend. And when this was all getting going, I didn't know anything. I had never run a show before. Mm-hmm. I had made one pilot that fell on its face and got shot in the desert and literally shot in the head in the desert. They took the disc out to the desert, put a bullet in it, and deservedly so. And I didn't know anything. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to run a room. And I was like, I'm going to go into this. I want to go into this with somebody that I know has a stake in not only the creative of the show, but also me as a person. And Wes was kind enough to listen to my begging and come on. And we had a lot of tough times on Colony for a lot of reasons, but I think a lot of rewarding times too. And, you know, we've become, we were always friendly, but I think we've become, you know, very good friends and partners through this experience. And I really would not have survived this psychologically, physically, creatively without Wes's contributions. And really half of this show is Wes. Yes, the pilot was my creation. That was the thing that I saw and all that. But the show would not be the show that you see without Wes and his constant looks of judgment when I pitch brilliant science fiction ideas.
I think we all obviously owe Ryan a huge debt of gratitude for creating the world that we got to play in. And the evidence of the greatness of that idea is in the way that the show is able to grow over three seasons. And it all came from a pilot that got fantastic actors to sign up and an Academy Award winning director. And Ryan's generosity over the last 3 years in allowing other people to play in that world is why the show is able to grow, I think. And for a first time showrunner to create something that, you know, has meant so much to so many people is a remarkable achievement. And beyond that, I'm just personally, I'm personally very grateful to him for letting me be part of it. And
thanks, buddy.
It's been special. Thanks.
It is. Being able to spend time with the two of you has meant a lot. And,
good.
As we all get
sad.
And, but the show will live on, and I can't wait to see what you both do next. And
great.
This fandom will, too. And television can be a heartbreaker, but it also makes wonderful stories that last. And you guys have made a wonderful story that have lasted. So thank you.
Thanks.
For being part of the podcast. Thank you for everybody that has been a guest on this podcast. Thank you for the fans who have been so wonderful to rally around this podcast and to give us great content and questions. And we've set a high bar for the first podcast I've ever done. So I thank the two of you for making this so special and thoughtful and insightful and wonderful time to spend thinking about really big things, small things, and laugh a whole lot, because we've done a lot of that with this show. I hope our paths cross again, officially, unofficially. But thank you, everybody out there, for listening, for making this show what it was, supporting it, and new stories, new chapters.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And as always, I just want to thank everybody for listening. It's been two great seasons of some amazing conversation about a really wonderful show. I have to thank my team. The show would never have sounded as wonderful as it does without them. Thanking my producer, Bartley Taylor, producer-editor Paul Terry, our wonderful mixer and master, Dave Draper, and for the network studios for being our home for so much of this season. It's been a true pleasure. Thank you to every single fan that's interacted with us online, who's given us great questions. We hope that you guys enjoyed everything that they made with the show, and you've enjoyed the conversations that we brought in about the show. Thank you, and we hope to return with you with new topics down the line. Signing off, Tara Bennett.